Any doubt?
We need to explain the mystery of love.
We ended on that note.
That is
good
only God.
Exactly. Even we can't do that.
Only God can do that. You know this. So, I mean, how has gone your week and your prayer? Mm-hmm. You try the things?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you try usually go well. Prayer usually have consolation. We'll talk about that topic of this day, but prayer usually has consolations. But prayer has conditions. So if I'm not putting the conditions of prayer, of the dispositions, of the attitudes of prayer, I cannot ask for consolations. Mm-hmm. Because consolations are given by God. So the first thing is putting God there in his place and me in my place. And that is, if that works, prayer works. Because God loves us, I mean, and he wants to manifest himself to us. So the thing is how I am giving. The plan of God is that he knows. He knows everything. That has a problem. Eternally, he knows everything. The depth of my heart, my intimacy, my feelings, even the unconscious that I don't know very clear, he knows it perfectly. And so everything is patent to the eyes of God, to the merciful eyes of God, because sometimes we think in our parents and hiding from them for escaping. No, it's the merciful love of God. But we need to understand that in prayer I do the steps and I insist. Doing the steps, the preambles, are very important. Because if not, prayer can become reading or studying or reflecting, and that is not prayer. Even meditation has a risk. Meditation is good, but when meditation is for moving faith, hope, and charity. So the goal of prayer is moving the virtues. So simple as that. And we need to move them because is something that is internal, and only me, the virtues that are faith, hope, or trust, or confidence, however you want to call it, charity, and humility. That is the foundation of everything. And there, the action of God is there. So we have always to renew, because if you read the saints, especially St. John of the Cross, because he's the master of the masters, I mean, he was there, and Santa Teresa is more complicated because it's more her experience. And St. John of the Cross is much more systematic in trying to guide the people. And so, on all the, it's a way of purification in faith. Prayer is not letting anything that is not God to be my goal, even consolations or visions or ecstasies or whatever. He give up everything for going to God. He don't want things, he wants God. And only through faith you get who is God, because only through faith you can go in the mystery of God, accepting what he has revealed to us. And it's important that, so what I think that is very important is always renewing the dispositions. Our understanding the mystery of the presence of God, the indwelling of God. But he is, you are a temple of God. He is inside you. St. John of the Cross insists a lot in that. Don't try to find God out. Look for God in. He's in you. Look for God in your heart. I mean, adore him in your heart. Give him thanks in your heart. Accustom yourself to the presence of God in you. Because the only way in getting a relationship with God, there is any other way. There is an idea of God that is outside. The only God who has created us for living a personal intimacy relationship with him is the God who is inside you, within you, in the intimate of your being. More, all the process of spiritual life is letting him to manifest himself in us. But is there, I mean, so this faith in the presence of Jesus, faith, because it's not a feeling. And the other day, remember the two words that faith is above our feelings, our emotions, our imaginations, and above all understanding. It has to be above. That is the reason the act of faith is meritorious, because when I look into the Eucharist, my senses are saying that this is a piece of bread, and that is wine. And my understanding that this movement of my senses is saying that is bread, that is not wine. But the faith understand, going further and leaning on the Word of God, that is not bread, is Jesus himself. And that is the sacrament of faith. So it's an act in which I am going above my feelings, and above my emotions, and above my understanding. Why? Because it's the only way of going in communion with God. We will see, we will dedicate one day explaining in depth, or even more, the mystery of faith. The mystery of faith is a response. It's an answer to another person. And faith has always these dimensions. If you understand something that I'm saying, I repeat the things. Has the word that I believe, and that I believe means, that I believe means that I say these words, are the truth. Right when you say, I believe, this is the reality that I don't see because surpass my understanding and surpass my feeling. This is the reality of what is here. The reason we talk, even in the Eucharist, we talk about transubstantiation. So what means that the substance of the bread is not there. It's the substance of Jesus who is there. I mean, that is what our faith, you know, all the Paul the Sixth also with amazing encyclical about when to take this point, because by influence of the Protestants, they were saying that was a transubstantiation, transfer finalization, denying the reality of the mystery of Jesus in the Eucharist. And the Catholic Church, the Eucharist helps us to understand everything. So it's the word that I believe, but the most important thing in faith is not the word, it's the person. Who I believe. It's the person who I believe. And the faith has always that double reference to the person and to the words. And I believe the words because the person. The cause, the reason I believe the words is the credibility of that person. Because that person is wise and is truthful, and he's not going to deceive me. That happened in every human relationship. So the moving the faith is so important because it's the way I come to the person. So believing in his words, I come to him, but I don't believe the words because I understand them, because if I understand them, I will say, I don't need to believe, I know it. Faith is a way of knowledge that is founded in other. And it's not so weird. Everything that you know is founded in others. I mean, you believe that there are 9 planets because you haven't seen the 9. And you believe the universe is whatever dimensions. Why? Because somebody's saying you. Because that person is worthy and trustworthy. So, because he's scientific and has proved the things. But who knows that he has proof? You have to believe. In all knowledge that you have, when you were a student, everything you do, the relation student-teacher is founded in faith. The relation parents-children is founded in faith. I mean, you have to believe the person. Even Aristotle say, for knowing, you need to believe. We think that faith is something that is, and that is the credibility of the person. In this case, his wisdom, that he is not going to mistake himself, and second is his love and truthfulness. And he's not going to deceive me, because he loved. His love, he has died on a cross for sin, and this is all founded in Jesus. So when I doubt, I don't doubt about the truth. I doubt about the person, always. You are doubting, you are denying Jesus always when you doubt. You don't doubt about the word. You have never understood that. So when you are doubting or I am doubting, we are doubting about the person. So it's very important to make a resolution in faith, not doubting. Why? Because the only way of coming to God is faith, is leaning on his words. Why? Because this, pardon for clarifying things, this word of God, that is the revelation of God, is God revealing himself, but at the same time, it's a self-gift, it's a self-communication. So the revelation of God is not about ideas, it's God giving himself to you and to me. And that God, the revelation of God, that is God giving himself, I mean, needing my part to answer that, to respond to that. How? Giving totally myself. And how I give totally myself? To faith. Because I rely on him, not on me. And faith is more certain than the feelings. Because I can doubt about my emotions, because I can even be drunk and not perceive things. But God is never going to deceive me in his word. So the certainty of faith is absolute. We will go to that one day in the Catechism of the Church or seeing it.
Just to take
So faith is a response, a personal free response, to one who first has given himself. So it's my response of giving myself to him. How? Giving him my understanding and my will. That is what we do in the act of faith. That is the reason is an act that demands and requests all my person in the answer I give to God. That reason, but all prayer is founded in faith. Because the true faith brings me to understand in depth the mystery of God. And obviously, if I understand in depth the mystery of God, I trust and I hope in him. And I desire him, so I love him. I mean, but this is a process that has to be always work. That has to be growing, because we don't have, I mean, I don't see God, and God is inside me. What happened? That he's little for being inside me. I mean, all these things that are my senses, not thinking. No, I mean, it's not that he's in me. You are in me and I am in you. Remain in me and I remain in you. It's a spiritual thing. Because we have a spiritual dimension. The problem of all is that faith goes further, because faith opens us to the spiritual, to the mystery of God, who is a spirit. And but he, in his mystery of love, he has revealed himself for what? For giving himself to us. The Eucharist is everything, I mean. What is the Eucharist? Why I believe in the Eucharist? The action of God giving himself to me. That is the whole of all revelation. The desire of God of giving himself and coming in a communion of love with me. That is what in every Eucharist we celebrate. What? His love. This is my body that is given up for you. That is his love. This is my blood that is shed for you. His mercy, that is a love that is mercy, because it's a blood that is shed for the forgiveness of sins. And that is what I remind first, is his love and his mercy in every Eucharist. And second, I quite celebrate the desire he has of the union with me. But Here you can take advantage and remind always the two desires that rule our hearts. The desire of being loved. Understanding that only Him fulfilled this desire. The one who loves me, who is infinite love, and loves me with an unconditional love, that is His Son, that He died in a cross for me, for teaching me how much He loved me, and He make that action a perpetual action in the church for renewing the action, not for celebrating something that was celebrated 2,000 years. No, in a sacramental way, is renewed the same action of Jesus giving Himself, the sacrifice of the Mass. For what? Reminding us the love He has for us, and be open to that love. And second, reminding us that the goal of everything is the union with Him, so that happiness is in that union of love with God, that is the other desire, the desire of happiness. And He's trying always to move us toward that, toward Him, moving our desire toward Him. For what? Because He wants to fulfill them. And fulfilling them, He wants to give us life, and life in abundance. But He needs that we open to Him, and the only way of opening is through faith. Because I cannot believe in the Eucharist if I don't have faith. It's the sacrament of faith. So the Eucharist is a sacrament that put me directly in what is the mystery of salvation. God is very intelligent. I mean, for making in such a simple thing the sum up of all revelation, it's amazing. It's amazing, the power of the Eucharist. And they say, Jesus, I don't know if Jesus is, the Eucharist is there, how Jesus cannot be. I mean, the Eucharist is there from the beginning, the church celebrates the mystery of the death of Jesus and the resurrection. I mean, the church is built by the Eucharist. The church is created for the Eucharist. I mean, for the presence of God in history. Because that is the point, that is that God is here. God is here. We're in the presence of the Eucharist for what is here, for never we forget that He's here with us. I will be with you until the end of the world. And for what is here, for bringing us to that union with Him here inside. Because that you, why Jesus is coming in the Eucharist inside us. So the next minute we forget, and we forget that God has come inside us. Is coming as a bread, or is coming as God for nourishing and His flesh, for being transformed through love in Him? I mean, Jesus is coming because He wants to remain there. You know the expressions, I mean, it's there. We go to the... So you know, the Eucharist, John 6, I am going to read only one verse. The whoever is verse 56, chapter 6 of St. John. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I mean, it's an invitation of what is happening. Remains in me, right? We are aware of what we are doing. Just as the living Father sent me and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. So it's inviting us a new way of living. That is living, remaining in him because he remains in us. It's a remaining that is founded in love, not in thinking. And so now we live from whom? From his love. As he lives from the Father, we live from the love of God. And see, this, we are going now to go deeper, but it's important that we don't disconnect the things. So the original desire of God has put in our hearts as persons is the desire of being loved. And the goal of our existence, and is moving and ruling our behavior and our actions, is the desire of happiness. And these are ruling your behavior. And now they, because we are created in a way, and these are spiritual desires, which means that are our very openness to God. It's the way we are open to God in creation. Original sin affected us, closing us in these two desires, and putting them in us and in our things. And that is the reason we have so many problems inside. Because these desires now, we need to open them to God. Because they are not in God, they are in me. When you read the litanies of humility, you get it very quickly. That they are in me. The desire of being loved, free me, Jesus, from the desire of being applauded, from the desire of being recognized and valued and popular and appreciated and wanted. And I mean, all of us are there with a strong, strong desire that is ruling our behavior. The point of that desire is that only God fulfills it. When I put it in other place, I mean, it's selfishness itself. Even my husband or my children, or my wife or my children, is selfishness itself. They cannot fulfill their desire. They can't fulfill it. Why? Because they are not God. And you need always an affective support, an affective somebody that holds you in your affective level. That only God can do it. Nobody can do that. Nobody is nobody. And that love received is what makes us able to love the others. Because if you're not receiving, you give very stingy. Because you give for receiving again. You don't give as God for giving. That is the way God gives. But the only one who is that source and that fountain of love is the Father. Even in the mystery of God. It's true that God is a fountain of eternal love, but in the mystery of the Trinity, the Son is receiving everything from the Father. What I mean is that we try to understand the first thing always in prayer is opening to His love. But for opening to His love, maybe I have a trial in my life, I have a problem in my life. And what I am going to do, God, because there is a trial or there is a problem, and now I am going to deny the faith. It's true that the most important question for a Christian is one. Is Jesus worthy of faith? But I have to resolve it once forever. No? I mean, if every day I am doubting, so yesterday was worthy of faith and today is not worthy of faith. Because I see his faith is not founded in the words, it's founded in the person. So I believe because the person is who is worthy of faith. And there is a book of Balthasar, Hans Urbor Balthasar, a very famous, only love is worthy of faith. Only of love deserves faith. But he has shown his love, he has come to this world only for showing us the love he has for us. So we believe in him. Why? Because faith is for opening to that love. Because the revelation of God is revelation of his love. It's a process that has been done in history in ways that he knows and according to the mystery of human evolution and development and cultural things. And he has done the thing respecting creation. Because God always respects creation because it's his work, his first work, and his continual work. So and now he has come for, he has been revealing himself until the mystery of the goal of all he has done in 2,000 years was a point. What? The crucifixion of his Son. That is the plan eternal from God. The crucifixion of his Son for you. And he permitted sin for that. Why? Because it's God, who is love. And we then are denying that constantly, in our hearts and in our lives. We are looking for love in other places. The reason we don't find it, I mean, we think that we find God. I mean, it's very important that we keep first the understanding that faith is for opening our hearts to the love of God. The mystery of God. And now, because when I understand how he loved me, what is his power, that is all about faith and understanding, now hope moves my heart, or trust. or confidence. Why? Because how he's not going to do it? Because this now is founded in one, in understanding who is God. The one who was crucified, the one who loves me, is the Almighty. And he loves me in his mercy. So what is the problem? That I am a sinner? Yes, what is the problem? Well, that again, because we are sinners, we look to ourselves instead of looking to him. And we don't open to him. We continue thinking that this is about me. This is not about you. This is about his love for you. And because we fail, now we despair, and we distrust, and we are discouraged, and we feel bad. Amen. Where is faith? Now he's thinking, now it's psychological sense of guilty. Now he's blaming myself. I mean, for what? That is helping me, blaming myself. It's making me grow. It's opening me more to God. No way. And you think that the father of the prodigal son wants his son to feel guilty and feel bad? No. He wants to convert and to come back. I mean, that is how God loves us. And the problem is that we are, because of original sin, we have a strong tendency to close to God. And now put him as an enemy, somebody who is going to punish me, or the only one who punishes you is yourself. God doesn't need to punish anyone, he's almighty. And he has created everything according to his laws of love, and growth. In the moment a person is not following his laws, is harming himself. Why? Because you are doing the contrary of what is good for you. You are contrary the contrary of what is healthy for you. You are doing the contrary of what brings you to fullness. And now, I mean, it's not God who is punishing. Hell is a self-exclusion from God. I mean, and the Bible talk about punish. Yes. Why? Because it's the way of understanding the things. It's not going to explain you in a metaphysical way the things. When man, who was in a total union with God, decide to sin, what happened? That he himself decide to break the relationship with God. What means breaking the relationship with God? Losing all the gifts that God has given them for conveying to the other men and women. That is what means. So he was punishing himself. That is not going to be explained, no. I mean, why? Because God has created the thing for living with him. Out of God don't exist any good. When somebody is separated from God, what he finds is loneliness, void, despair, and hell. I mean, that is separating from God. But it's not that the prodigal son was not punished by the father, no, because he went away of the house of the father, he was punished by his own actions. Right? Because God has created us for, not only for living from his love, has created us for happiness. And we have to renew it always in our hearts. Why? Because we lose the meaning of God because we lose faith. And God loves you also when you are a sinner. He died for us being sinners. So when I have sinned, I don't have to feel bad because I have sinned. I have to convert and turn back to the love of God because he loves me. And I have sinned because I have separated from him. Where? In my heart. All the sins are coming because we are not aware of the mystery of God in us. And Christian life is growing in that mystery and opening to it. So what I want now to understand is that all the other meditations are connected with these two. This is the most important of all meditation. What? I need to live from his love. I need love. I need love. I have an urgent, deep necessity of love. All the human problems are one, lack of love in the relationships. Lack of love in the relationship of the father with the children. And when the children grow, between the brothers and sisters. And a lack of love later in marriage. A lack of love, and it's a process that is in human history, destroying everything, because we are created for living from love. But the only one who is the fountain and the source of love, of true love, of generous love, of love for serving others, that is what is true love, and rescuing others from their problems, is God. And that now we need to open to him, and that is the reason of praying and the need of prayer. We need to pray, why? Because we need love. We don't need to pray for saying things to God. But are you going to say new to God? He knows everything. Before you were born, he knows everything about you. So why we pray? For opening my heart to his action. Because I cannot say nothing new to him. And when the prayer goes farther, it's more silence. Why? Because he knows my needs, my wants, my wishes, my everything. He knows it eternally. But this moment is moment of salvation. This moment is moment of grace. Now is the moment of salvation, always. Why? Because this is a God that is wanting to come to our lives. He's wanting to come to our history. He's wanting to change things. But he needs that I open to him. And I insist, the only way of doing that is called faith. Everything is so important in a spiritual life. Because, I mean, the country of faith, what is? Living in my head thinking. And worry. And anxiety. That is the country of faith. All our anxieties are coming from our lack of faith. Because we are not expecting nothing. Have this very clear. These desires are ruling your life. As mine. I know it very well. The desire of happiness and the desire of being loved rule my life. What happens? In the moment they are not in God, I am thinking. I am living in my head. Because you are created for love and you are created for happiness. So they are ruling all your behavior. In the moment you are not receiving love, in the moment you are not oriented your heart toward the union with God, that we call it love and it's the first commandment, in that moment, necessarily, my desire of being loved has to be in some place that is in me, and my desire of happiness has to be in some place that is not God, that is in me. And you cannot avoid that because nobody can avoid that. That is the reason we need mission and salvation and we have to go to the world. It's not because it's because they don't know and they have a lot of problems. I have been all around the world. Well, everywhere. So much problems in the family, in the marriage. Abusive problems. I mean, are everywhere. Why? Because we need God for being ourselves. And not every God. We need the only God who is real and truth, who is love. And who has revealed himself for helping us and healing our hearts. But then it's very important that we renew this desire. I brought you, it's a little card that I made for the children. I will give you at the end. But it's about praying for these two desires, putting them in God. You can make your own prayer. But this there, I mean, is we need love. And we have to be aware. And we have to make this conscious to our children. And to the people. You need love. Because everything that they are doing is for looking for love. All the worries that they have, well, I'm not going there. I mean, you know, you can think a little. And think how everyone, for everything that they are doing, is looking for being loved. Appreciated, wanted, recognized, valued, and for achieving happiness in the way they think happiness is in some place. It's every human action that is there. Why? Because it's impossible. Whatever guy is talking about something, he's talking about where is happiness. Any question about this? I think it's very important that we understand the meaning of faith. For me, it was a lot of light. I learned these things through Jean Paul II. I mean, what? That faith is about, revelation is about self-revelation. Self-revelation is a self-gift of God, that God is giving himself. So he's asking my answer to his action of giving himself to me. And that is clear in the Eucharist, very clear. So everything is very clear in the Eucharist. In so simple thing, God has put the sum up of everything. That now we need to work. That reason Jesus doesn't work out of faith. Why? Because he requests our faith. Right? Because the power of God is here. It's here. But am I opening to that power? That's the question. The expression that we were reading the other day about St. Paul talking in Ephesians, I mean, the one who is able to make more than you can't imagine or ask with that power that is within you. If I'm not aware that he's there in within me, how he's going to work? My opinion, all revelation is for bringing us to the interior presence of God. Any question about this thing? Okay, continuing with the same thing. So what I would want is that we understand the things in connection. So if something is failing, the whole thing is collapsed. So this is not one idea or an idea and now it's another idea. No. This is all founded in the mystery of a God who is the creator. That is the thing we today we are going to try to go a little deeper. And God is creator. What means that he's creator? That he's the giver of everything to everyone. That means that he's creator, that he is the giver. God, the first proclamation of our faith, I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. So the first statement of our faith is that God is creator. And the first statement of the Bible is that God is creator. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. This is the first thing that is in the Bible. Why? Because it's the most important. Because if we don't understand what means the creator and who is God, we don't understand Jesus. Jesus is a kind of other one trying to do things in this human history. It's not that. So we understand a little better that his creator is that he's given everything. But what he can give to us that is not given to the other creatures? Grace. This is a relationship with him. Inside us. That was created in the paradise. So God has created you for continuing giving you. So the reason you exist is for receiving. Because we are before the giver. The only thing I can do is to receive. It's clear this thing is very important that we get it. I will read the Catechism of the Church so we get. The glory of God is the measure you receive. Because you cannot give any glory to God. The only glory you can give to God is receiving from him what he wants to give you. In our free will and in his plan, of course. All the creation is a manifestation of the glory of God. All this world and universe that we see is why God has created such a huge thing. Maybe for teaching us humans that we are very prideful, especially in this 20th century and 21, that we are nothing. That we are less than a little mote of power, powder here in this room that you cannot see. We are nothing. I mean, that is the truth. So I see this is very important to get it in our spiritual life. We'll see the consequence of this. Second stage, God is my creator. Why? God is not creator in general. God is creating now. There's an expression St. Thomas Aquinas can give some light, but this is in the Catechism of the Church. I put it in Latin. Or in English. In English we see conserving better listeners. I will put it more clear. The act of conserving or sustaining the things in being is a continual creation. God is creating now. It's not that he created at the beginning. I can talk because he is first cause of my talk. I am second cause. You can understand what I am saying because God is first cause of your understanding. You are second cause. And this with the whole thing that exists is creature. And creature means that is in a total, radical, permanent dependence on the Creator. And total and radical and permanent means everything in the universe. God is the giver of everything to everyone, but especially the giver of being. That is the most radical dimension of everything that exists. Since something exists, is you say it has been. So exist is the same thing. But it's because God, in his will and in his wisdom, is creating it. Not that God created at the beginning. God created this world here. This is one of the biggest problems that I have faced from all the whole process of education in theology. The lack of awareness of this fact by the priests and the teachers. What a surprise, I mean. How? Why? Because this is everything. Of who is God and how we open to God. The problem, you know, from the 17th century, more or less, deism, that is a very strong energy of the rationalist and the kind of, is that God kicked off the world, but now the world is independent of God. And that has been pervading society in years. After that, you know, come evolutionism. That is another way of denying the God as creator. I put evolutionism because it is different from the theory of evolution, of the hypothesis of evolution. Okay. And now, through these things, has come the materialistic dimension, and now the atheists pretending that they are rational. It's the most stupid thing that they have ever seen. The way people think. I mean, the only way I can deny God is cutting my head. It's the only way. I mean, why? Because God is manifest in his works. And the Creator is manifest to everyone, essentially in three things, continually and perpetually. First is in reality, in the mystery that is there outside you. Second is in the law that is written inside you. So you know always that you have to follow what is good and avoid what is evil, and that is a manifestation in your conscience of the mystery of God, a permanent manifestation of God in every human being as creation or reality is a permanent manifestation of wisdom, beauty, goodness, and power outside of you. The problem is that, and the desires that we have, that are spiritual desires, and are opening always to a mystery that surpasses us constantly. And these three things are constantly a manifestation of God in every human being. How we get there here, I don't get it very clear. I mean, it's a matter of faith. They have a lot of faith. In what? That they don't want that God exists. That is the point.
Okay.
So, but we go here because I think it's very important that we understand this fact. I'm going to read a text of the Catechism of the Church. So creation, well, I put an example so we can imagine that I have a lot of power. The problem is that the only one who is creator is Almighty. For being creator, you need to be Almighty. It's the very same thing. Why? Because you need a power that from nothingness brings something to existence. This is creation. Creation is ex nihilo. We'll read it. So it's ex, is from nothing, out of nothing. We cannot even understand that because nothing doesn't exist. And that is the reason in the first page of the Bible, when God is creating, they don't have Greek categories for expressing that. And they put chaos and darkness because they don't know how to use that word, because they don't have a metaphysics that came through the Greeks for understanding that one thing is being and the other thing is non-being. And they don't have that. But what I want to make understand is that, imagine I have that power. So imagine I want an apple to exist. And I, because my understanding, I know what is an apple, and I know what is the power of my will, I make it here exist. Imagine that. With so many movies that we see, we can do that, because in the movies it seems that happens sometimes, no? But what means? This thing, for existing, because it's existing where? In my will, because I want to that this apple exists, and in my understanding, because I want that be what it is. If not, it's impossible. It's clear the example I am putting. I mean, for something that don't exist become to existence, need that the will of the one who has brought it to existence remain wanting that the things come to existence and remain knowing the thing exactly as it is. This is with the whole universe in God. Everything is in His will and everything is in His knowledge. Everything in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God. That is the knowledge of God and is the love of God, the power of God. God is creator, and that is the first dimension of God that is in the Bible. And God doesn't need for creating anything. How He create? He creates through His word. That is exclusive of the Bible. In other cultures, it's like a battle against gods. No, here is only one thing. The word of God once means that. This is the great illumination, enlightenment of the humanity. Why? Because it's denied that the things has power, that the things are demons, that the things are spirits, that it's all a rational thing created by one being through His word. So through His reasonable acting. I mean, it's amazing. You can read the book of Ratzinger, Creation and Sin. It's amazing. Text about this topic, and the Genesis as the light, the real illustration of humanity. Why? Because that was what, in that moment, all people were believing that the sun was God, that the moon, that all was magic, that there were forces everywhere. There are a lot of people that continue thinking that and believing that. I mean, we are turning back there. I mean, with the minerals and all these things, and the trees and all these things, people. All this new age has a kind of forces and powers around. That is what a Christian life that way. So here the point, and I insist, And that is what you, one of the ideas that is there in the art of faith is recognizing that I am a creature. It's very important. It's very important because you are a creature, which means that you depend totally, radically, and permanently on him. If you are not aware of that, the first, most important truth about God is out of your heart. Imagine your prayer. Some question about this? I will read the text of the catechism so you understand that it's not something that is an idea. No, it's the way the church has always understood the mystery of God as creator. Mary is Mary, and Mary is immaculate. You know why she is immaculate? Because she never denied that she was a creature. She never forget and deny, as we deny constantly in our behavior, that she depend on other totally, absolutely, and radically. Never, never. That's the reason she is so holy. What means that? Means understanding with whom we are and what he can do. That is where is founded the action of God. And Jesus, in difference with all the other founders of religion, he put the center in him. Why? Because he is the creator with the Father. There is not three gods, there is only one. And he, the creator, is the redeemer. And only in that way can be understood what is this about. The one who created the thing, same thing, is the one who came to this world for restoring the things in him. You know, this, you have several texts of that. I read only one, Colossians. It's the way the letter, the St. John begins the his gospel, no? So, why he begins again this gospel with those words? Maybe because it's the most important thing to take care in our hearts. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him. All things were created through him. And without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life. Nice beginning to talk about the mystery of God, who is life and light. But this is the way he begins the text. I mean, he's talking about Jesus, the one, the Word God, who was in the beginning with the Father, and is God as the Father. This one is the one who came to us. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him were created all things, in heaven and on earth. So in Jesus were created all things, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The expression is more are sustained in existence. Now begins about the mystery of salvation. He's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. So Jesus is God. Sometimes we forget this thing. We treat him as one like us. His person is divine. And in Jesus, as you know, is only one person. And this person is the divine person. There are two natures. One is the divine nature, that is the same with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And there is his humanity that he took, soul and body, in the incarnation and in time. This eternal is him, but being the Son of God. And he took in his humanity. Why? Because his plan, the plan of God, was him from the beginning. God has only one son, and he created everything in the image and likeness of his son. And he created us for being similar to his son. Now, this is Romans chapter 8, you know it. So the plan of God is that we become as his son. It's the same thing that St. Paul was saying there in Colossians. Romans 8, 28 and 29, especially 29. We know that all things work for God. We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So the plan of God when he thought in you is to be conformed. What means to be conformed to it? To living from him as a son. As Jesus brought to his humanity the mystery of his divinity. So he making man, we can share in his divinity. That's what he did making this, but always, I mean, it's very important that we understand that the one who is crucified is the creator of heaven and earth, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. There is not two creators, it's only one. All actions of God are extra, so out of the Trinity, are the part of the three persons together. There is not an action of the Holy Spirit, an action of the Father, an action of the Son. No, they are common action. Some question about this? I mean, I think that a lot of questions, no? But this, in my opinion, is the most powerful thing, because put us in reality of who is God and who are us. There are a lot of virtues that we will see that are here that come from this knowing who is God and who am I, and living it. Living as a creature is living loved by God. God, the act of creation, is an act of love. It's an act of almighty power, of course, but it's an act of love. God created for love. So the reason that moved God to create was love. And he created giving, and this is love. Love is to give to others. And when the gift is total, so it's no reason, because the other don't exist, it's a total gift. So it's a pure act of love. And we exist because we are love. So Being a creature in us is being a concrete kind of creature, that is being a person. Why? Because God loved us with a special love. The Creator loved us with a special love. That is the mystery of fatherhood and motherhood. Fatherhood and motherhood are for conveying the child, the dimension of the person, that he is loved by himself, that he is loved for his own sake, that he is not loved for other things, that God loves him as a person, as a goal in itself, or in his himself or in herself.
So that means a person that is not loved for other reason. God doesn't love you for other reason. God loves you as a goal, because that means to be a person, and or as a gift. As a gift that he has created, but at the same that is able to turn to him in the dimension of the gift. This is the mystery of spousal love, as you can understand. So, but all the things that in Christian life we try to understand and to work are founded in the mystery of creation. If we are not aware of that, we are losing the point. Religion, Christian religion, seems like a kind of ideas, better or worse, or systematic. This has nothing to do. This, the very creator who sustained the whole universe, sustain is with B or?
Sustain,
no,
that's right.
Like that, no? Sustain the whole universe in his power and in his love, this is the same who came to this world. And it's the same who revealed to the people of Israel. And why? For bringing us to him, for restoring our hearts in the relationship with him. So this out of creation, so we can go to this thing that for me is helpful. Sometimes thinking this idea of in relationship with God. So who am I? Who am I? So we can, it's at the beginning of the meditation, but I think it's very, for me has been always very powerful to understand the mystery of what is this universe. So if we go to the Big Bang, the initial point of creation, that it happens 40,000 million years ago. 40,000 million years ago. How many years do you have? These millions means 40,000 million years ago. Now what is that? That's some years, no? I think that the Earth has 5 million. So before the Earth were like, I mean, you know, all this process of forming of the mountains and all this has taken from 5,000 million years ago. I mean, we understand the proportion of time. Who we are, forgetting in pride who we are. And now you go and you begin to try to understand what is this, and you know, the Earth is a planet, no? That we have 9 planets. And we have 1 sun, no? Okay,
I have to move the things.
Doesn't happen again. And we have a sun. You know how many suns are in this galaxy? So we are in the Milky Way, no? You know how many suns are here? Stars like this? And bigger? Some bigger or other? Millions. 100,000 millions of stars like the sun. Now what is that? That is the stars that exist with their own planets, probably. And this is in our galaxy. I mean, the numbers are so that if every human being goes to a star different with all the planets and all the things that there will be thousands of millions of stars without any human. And we think that we are something. And the thing doesn't finish here. So we are in a galaxy, no? But this galaxy, that is the Milky Way, is one of the galaxies that is in a universe that there are 10 more or less. 10,000 million galaxies. So in each galaxy is around this proportion of the stars. And this the same, we can make the same reasoning. If every human being goes to a galaxy, there will be thousands of galaxies, millions of galaxies without any human being. Imagine the immensity of the thing. And for me, it's more difficult to do this than for God creating this universe. It's clear what I'm saying? In fact, this universe for God is at the relationship of God with the universe as creation material is of reason, is not real. This is St. Thomas Aquinas. For us, it's totally real because we depend on him totally. But for him, it's no change for creating. For me, doing this is a change. I mean, and this is the God who has come to save us and to redeem us. Something is not working well in our heads. I mean, it's true, no? It's so amazing. This God, who has such
it's
a power,
has six.
Died for me in a cross. Maybe it's something problematic in us that he wants to heal and to restore and to change. Is there? I mean, it's amazing. I think it's amazing. Is this? I mean, the dimensions of the things, the wisdom that is in every place and in every little thing in the universe. And now we know better than before, because before they don't know nothing. But now you go on every thing that is there, every plant, you got the information that it has, the perfection that is, how all is programmed, and all is there. And it's, nobody can deny it. There is an amazing design of the things. They want to deny it, of course, because saying that there is a design means that there is a God, it's the same thing. But who has done the design? How now nature, what is nature? Nature is nothing. Nature is matter without understanding and without nothing. Nature don't know what is a design, not know what is information, not know what is knowledge, don't know, nature knows nothing. The person, when they are not talking about nature, they are talking like an entity to what is living, and it's like an intelligence and wisdom. That is what they are talking, because it's impossible that they be quiet. Because it's there, and it's manifested in that, the wisdom and the power of God in his creature and his works. And in us, I don't want to go there, I mean the mystery of the human being. And all this is his work of love for us, where we are, what is happening with us, I mean, what is this mystery? I mean, for me, it's one of the most powerful things in prayer, is getting aware that making it these two words, personal and actual. So actualizing it and personalizing it. What? When you go to prayer, put before God and try to recognize who is God and who are you. I mean, this is humility. Humility is only this. It's not being afraid of things or being little or belittled. No. Humility is knowing who is God and who I am. And that is humility, only that. The most humble creature ever exists, who is Mary. Why? Because she always knows who is God and who is her and what she can do without God. That is exactly that nothing. I mean, not only in the order of grace. That is true that in the order of grace, if we don't have the grace, we don't love. It's all ego and selfishness. But it's more in all the orders. I mean, I can do nothing without God because he's first cause of everything in the universe. And recognizing that dependence on God, I insist that dependence on the love of God. That total, radical, and permanent dependence on the love of God. It's not for being afraid, it's for being in freedom. Why? Because I am loved as a creature, not only, and God loves everyone that is a person, because it's a personal love what God has for that person. I see this point is the key of everything. If we really, truly, deeply don't believe in God as creator, Christianism is the most stupid thing that exists. Why? Because it has no sense. We are talking about the Creator always. And all the revelation of God is about the Creator, the one who is sustaining everything in His power. And that God is wanting to come to me. He's wanting to change my life. But the problem that He has is that He respects my free will. And that reason He is crucified. But all the mystery of the Creator who has, and this, the first St. Paul and the apostles don't have the doubts we have created now about creation. I'm not going about the problem of evolutionism. They are, you have doubts about these things, read something intelligent. There are a lot of things very intelligent written about creation and evolution. They are not contraries. I mean, they are different level of understanding reality, but they are sustained. Creation sustain evolution. Evolution can exist because somebody has created the things in a process of evolution and has put an information for the things evolving. I mean, why do you think that these guys who were writing about creation, they don't know that the tree is born from a little seed? And the baby is born in the womb of the mother and begins to grow and has an evolution. And for because there is an evolution, there is not going to be creation, no. I mean, the problem is that the atheist has, the things are turning up down, I mean, in this moment in the reflection of philosophy. Why? Because the atheists were sustaining his atheism through evolution. Through evolutionism, and now the study of the matter, the study of the reality is showing that it's a clear design inside. And now they are trying to deny that constantly, that there is a design when the design is obvious. What is that? I mean, what I mean is that God has manifested Himself in His works. So try always you go to prayer, being aware of that. Being aware of who is God and who are you. Because that changes the things, I mean, a lot. And make us humble. That is the most need of all virtues. Why? Because put us in reality. What means that? We are going to get... I don't want to go forward. Any question about this? I read the text of the catechism and I go to the consequences of this. First, I'm not going to read. You have them. I recommend that you to read them, even to pray about them. First is the 2:9-3. The world was created for the glory of God. The world was created for the glory of God. So the goal of everything is the glory of God. But God created all things not to increase His glory, which is impossible, but to show it forth and to communicate it. Get the words, I mean. To show it forth, to show His beauty, so we can share and contemplate His beauty, and for communicating it to us. For God has no other reason for creating than His love and goodness. And this is the expression of St. Thomas Aquinas. Creatures came into existence when the key of love opened His hand. The glory of God consists in the realization of this manifestation and communication of His goodness. So God, what He wants is to manifest to us and to communicate us His goodness, His wisdom, His power, His life, everything. That is the reason we are created. This is matter of faith. And that this is the Son of God. I mean, God, you exist for God communicating, the Almighty communicating His gifts to you. You get what He's saying, the church, to us? What God is saying to us, I mean, because He's the... here is a text of Ephesians 1:6-11. According to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. That is what God has created us, to the praise of the giving thanks of his glorious, the manifestation of his action in us. Because the other animals cannot receive from God. The trees cannot receive more. They are trees and they are limited in what they are. They cannot grow more. They are growing as trees, and every year is the same, the process until they die. You and me can be growing always because God has no limits in his gifts, and he wants to give us more and more, but depend on us, because depend on how we believe that he is God. And the only way that you and me understand that God is God is recognizing that he's creator. You know, there was a very intelligent guy, so we get it, it's also in the catechism, I'm not going to read it, that his name is Arius, in English, Arius. He was an heresiarch, or a man who made an heresy, of the 4th century. The battle was the divinity of Christ. This guy, there's Athanasius, who was the defender of the Orthodox faith of the Church, was there facing Arius, and this was written by Athanasius: the whole church is Arian. I mean, don't think that the problems are only in these times. The whole church is Arian. Imagine what he's saying. And what it means that? What means that is that this guy was very intelligent and was very ascetic and very spiritual and very attractive man and very was convincing people. Why? Because it was in the moment of the proclamation of the divinity of Christ. And here what he was saying is, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. Jesus is light of light. Yes. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Yes. No problems. He has no problems with anything. He has only problem with one thing about Jesus. For the nine, these guys were very, very intelligent, and they know what this is about. Jesus is not the creator. It's the only thing that he denied from Jesus. Why? Because he understands that only God is God if we understand that he is creator. And we live before him as creator. And that is the reason in the creed we have not created, not made. Consubstantial to the Father, for directly denying the proposition of this guy. I mean, and now I want to make you a question. How this truth is affecting your way of living? You can understand now also why we have, I insist, Mary never in all her whole life denied this truth. What? Knowing that everything that she is a gift of God, that everything that she is coming from the love of God, that she is nothing without God, that all she is a gift, and that is the reason God exalted and gave her more and more and more and more and put her above all creatures in heaven and on earth and above all angels, because this disposition of receiving from the one who is the giver. I mean, it's clear, no? What is the world created? For the glory of God. You are created for the glory of God. So for God communicating to you his gifts and his graces and his goodness and his wisdom, so you can be the man, the person, the husband, and the father that he is wanting you to be. But now, you can keep thinking and then trying to resolve the world. Okay, good. Continue. What is it? It is... The first statement, God created, read it, I'm not going to read the whole thing. God created by wisdom and love. So the two powers that created in God is wisdom and love. Eh? And the Son and the Holy Spirit, that attribute, the wisdom is attributed to the Son, and love is attributed to the Holy Spirit. Not that the Father is not love. So God created out of nothing. And explain it here. Here I will read this text so we understand that these people before believed in these things. Things that I doubt that majority of Catholics believe, but I am saying now here. A scripture bears witness to faith in creation, out of nothing, as a truth full of promise and hope.
Things on creation.
Because when we say that there is going to be a new world and a new heaven, how that is going to be? If we don't create that God is the Creator Almighty. If we believe in the resurrection, when we are founded in the resurrection, that the same who has created this universe is the one who is promising that he's going to rise the bodies. I mean, He has the power for creating this universe from nothingness. He is not going to have the power for rising the bodies. But I insist the attribute that is directly connected with creation is Almighty. That is the attribute of God that is the only one who is proclaiming the creed. And he's the only one that if you pay attention to Mass, there are others, but always, in every Mass, is repeated several times. God Almighty, the Father. Do we believe that God is Almighty? That everything now and here is in his power? I mean, you know what you believe. But here the mother of the seven sons encourages them from martyrdom. This is the mother of the Maccabees, no? This is the worst quote, the words of the mother. I do not know how you came into being in my womb. It was not I who gave you life and breath, nor I who set in order the elements within each of you. Therefore, the creator of the world, who shaped the beginning of man and devised the origin of all things, will in his mercy give life and breath back to you again, since you now forget yourself for the sake of his laws. Look at the heaven and the earth and see everything that is in them, and recognize that God did not make them, that God did not make them out of things that existed. Thus also mankind comes into being. So this woman has a total understanding of the mystery of God as creator. And the reason she believes in the resurrection of her son, even Jesus has not risen yet from the dead. I mean, that woman was in the disposition of giving her son to die because her faith in the mystery of God. Yeah. Power. Here is the 301. we finish at time. Just. With creation, God does not abandon his creatures to themselves. 301. He not only gives them being and existence, but also, and at every moment, upholds and sustains them in being, enables them to act, and brings them to their final end. Recognizing this utter dependence with respect to the Creator is a source of wisdom and freedom, of joy and confidence. Now we are where we want to be. The things continue. Here, I mean, it's amazing text. But what I want to put clear here is that this is not something more. When we are talking that God is love and everything is coming from love, we are talking first from creation. And his plan is creation. We are in a world that is trying to deny creation. Now in the level of the problem of gender, as you know. I mean, because it's like the key of all this is denying creation. That there are creatures that are formed by the in the image and likeness of God. That is the goal of all these things, denying the creation. Satan knows that very well. Because denying the creator is denying God, it's the same thing. It's taking him. God is not a feeling or an emotion that we have or an experience that I have in a moment. God is the one who is ruling your life in each moment of your life, and it's all in his power. If we open to him, because the problem of God is that he's very respectful for our free will, and I can destroy myself and destroy others if I don't open to him. And he let these things happen, yes. He lets these things happen because from the beginning, when he created, he said, there is the world for you. Make it a place of holiness and of justice. And we are doing exactly that. But this is the plan, that's the reason he respects. But now, if someone, you or me, want him to come here and to open to him totally, he can do extraordinary things. And that's the mystery of salvation. That he, through 12 men who were fishers and were without nothing, they understood that God, the Almighty, the Creator, because these men of the Old Testament and the New Testament, so the Jewish, has faith in God the Creator, this God, the Creator, has come now in the humanity of Jesus for bringing us how God works in us and how God does the thing. And in that power of God, they came to the world transforming the world. I mean, and we are called to do the same. but in the power of God. These men know that very well. I mean, the other connection with this, as you can understand, is the truth about divine providence that we don't go today. So I will give you, and we'll read the text, and you will see how all the saints have a total awareness of divine providence. But it's impossible to believe in divine providence if you don't believe that God is creator. It's impossible. Or you think that this is a magician thing, the divine providence of God. It's nothing magician. It's the power of God acting for the salvation and the good of those who love him. That is divine providence. With all power, according everything, according to his intention. Even the evil that people are doing are in the plan of God for the good of those who love him. Now, we put there or no? So we pray to her, to our mother, to Mary, asking her to help us to understand this mystery that she... I encourage you to, in your prayer, begin with this fact. You will see how powerful is God, I mean. Because in the moment a person is coming to the truth, is giving a space to God. The truth is reality. And the truth is not a thinking. The truth is coming to reality. Who is God and who I am? What is me and who I am before the one who is the giver of everything? And that brings the heart to a deep dimension of humility. The next day we will begin with you will see the consequences that this fact put in the heart of a person has in the heart of a person. I mean, it's amazing. And all the problems of psychology are there because this fact is not lived by people. I mean, it's a huge, you can understand, this is the first beginning of everything. That God is God, and the only way a person can recognize that God is God is recognizing that he is creator. You can pass this. You want to take one more than one, you can take it for the first one or whatever. And this is also the meditation of today. Take one and pass it over. What's so beautiful? Holy Land, it's coming directly from Holy Land. This holy woman that is has come. She was in Holy Land. So this is a cross with the Via Crucis. So the stations of the cross around the cross. Mary finishing the book, trying to understand how amazing is her, because Mary is only one thing, she let God to be God in her. Not only outside, because God is outside, he is God in everything, but in us. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Knowing that we are temples of God and the Holy Trinity dwells in us, we give glory to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father.